Hey everyone. Yeah, we gotta do this sooner or later. 9/11, inside job. Oh, the stupid. I went over this last time. If you want to convince me that it's a conspiracy, present evidence. Mysterious phone voice? Yeah, I can't hear a word you're saying.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better. Much better. Couldn't you have done whatever you did just from the start so people wouldn't have had to complain?
I have to use a voice changer, you know, so the government won't find me and kill me, you know.
Okay, you were saying.
I was saying we have shown you plenty of evidence. You just refuse to listen.
You know what?
Oh no.
I heard you was an atheist. I just want to say that evolution that don't explain why your eyes just popped up in them holes by accident.
So you believe in creationism? Mm-hmm.
Damn right,
okay,
I do.
Okay, and your reason for believing that is?
Because evolution, that shit can't be true, because it don't explain where shit came from.
Hey, phone voice. Your reason for believing that 9/11 was an inside job is?
Basically, it's that the official story has so many problems with it that it's simply impossible for a skeptical mind to
believe. Am I the only one who can see the similarity? Look, even if I grant you that the official story is complete bullshit, that still doesn't mean that it was the government. I mean, have you ruled out, the KGB? Oh wait, they don't exist anymore, do they? Do they? You see what I mean? You don't get to say that there's a problem with the official story, therefore it was a government conspiracy. You need evidence that it was a government conspiracy. But, okay, let's say it was a government conspiracy. Are we talking about the whole government being in on it? Was there a vote? Or are we talking about individuals who just happened to be in the government? What individuals? How many? Do you have any evidence? Do you even know what it is you're claiming? Is there really something wrong with the official story? Let's hear it.
19 Arabs couldn't have done it.
Yeah, but 19 white people could, right? That's an argument from personal incredulity and an argument from being a racist prick. Next.
The so-called hijackers are still alive.
Yeah, I know. The BBC published some pictures right away, pretty much, saying, hey, look, these were the hijackers. Turns out that a couple of those pictures were just people who had the same names as the suspected hijackers. They came clean right away, they apologized for screwing up, but of course the conspiracy theorists don't care. Instead, they've looked everywhere for people who just happen to have the same names as the hijackers, and, well, they've found a lot of them. So I guess that proves the hijackers are still alive, right? Especially in this one case where there are two guys that have the same name as one of the hijackers. Because it's not like that would, I don't know, give you a clue as to what the problem is. Next.
It's impossible to accept the official story when you can see all the videos of the World Trade Center towers collapsing. It's clearly a controlled demolition.
As far as I know, all people who have ever looked at this, who have any education that qualifies them to make a statement like that, actually say that it wasn't a controlled demolition. Look, Bazant's paper, link below. It was written right after 9/11 and published in the peer-reviewed Journal of Engineering Mechanics, which has a fine standing with the scientific community. is still unchallenged in the peer-reviewed scientific literature. There's nothing suspicious about the collapse. At least not according to the people who actually know what they're talking about. But yeah, I guess all experts are involved in a conspiracy. Yeah.
Bazant's paper has been debunked. It says so on every single 9/11 Truth website.
Yeah, and it says on every creationist website that evolution has been disproven. Of course the paper is constantly being attacked by conspiracy theorists, but it's never been attacked by anything peer-reviewed. At least not to my knowledge. Feel free to prove me wrong.
It wasn't a plane that hit the Pentagon. There's no plane wreckage.
And you ain't never found none of them transitionational fossils either.
Look at the hole. It's shaped like a missile, not a plane. Like the holes in the Twin Towers.
The Pentagon's wall was made of reinforced concrete. Not relatively thin steel beams with windows between them. Different thing. Look, the wings would have been torn off the fuselage, leaving a hole shaped like, what?
Building 7 cannot have collapsed from anything related to any planes hitting the Twin Towers.
Again, according to the investigators, yes it could.
Those investigators are...
You got any evidence of that?
Well, the fact that...
Wait, let me rephrase that. Do you have any evidence of that isn't circular?
Oh, you're part of the conspiracy. Now I understand. You work for the Reptilian Illuminati Order.
This time I'm going to have a look at one particular source that they seem to just love. So it's time for another episode of Dissecting Pseudoscience, Pwnage Edition. What's going to get pwned? Well, the infamous Thermite paper, of course. Yes, I'm gonna pwn a peer-reviewed paper. I say peer-reviewed instead of peer-reviewed because, well, you'll find out, trust me.
A lot of effort has been put into government-sponsored investigations, but less well-publicized studies are equally important, like those published in the Journal of 9/11 Studies.
Okay, the Journal of 9/11 Studies is basically the creation magazine of 9/11 truthers. It has absolutely no standing with the scientific community, and the people writing articles in it are not actually experts at the fields they're writing about, as we're about to find out.
In a paper by nuclear physicist Dr. Stephen E. Jones...
A nuclear physicist? Really? Gee, where could we be going with this?
Published in the Journal of 9/11 Studies... in which he discussed the impossible mechanics of the collapse of the World Trade Center buildings.
So what we have here is someone with no background in engineering writing about engineering in a journal that's not reviewed by engineers. And in the article he writes, he completely ignores the fact that real engineers who write in real engineering journals come to the complete opposite conclusion. I think we're pretty much done, but I'm gonna... go on anyway, just for fun.
He requested that people send him samples of World Trade Center dust. The expectation was that this might yield evidence supporting the hypothesis that explosives were used to destroy the buildings.
Again, this still has nothing to do with nuclear physics. Now we're talking about chemistry. So at least now Stephen E. Jones does the honest thing and brings in a chemist who can actually do this analysis. Niels Harrit, another known conspiracy theorist. But, okay, I can't challenge his analysis. I'm not qualified to do that, you know, kind of like Stephen E. Jones is not qualified to challenge the engineers who came to the conclusion that the claim that explosives were used is absurd. Which, in the context of a scientific paper, translates to f***ing retarded.
Several people sent in samples. Several meaning four. All four samples came from private citizens. They all contained the same small red-gray bilayered chips.
No verifiable chain of custody for any of the samples is provided. All we get is a link to a Google video where Stephen E. Jones asks one guy if one of the samples is legit, and all he can say is, yes, pinky swear. Look, we don't even need to look at the analysis. All we need to know is that the engineers who have looked at this have come to the conclusion that explosives were not actually used. Now, if you want to challenge that, go to an engineer and get that engineer to write an engineering paper and have it published in a journal reviewed by other engineers. And then we can start talking about the explosives you may or may not find in the samples of dust that may or may not be contaminated and that may or may not be from ground zero.
The chips have a red layer made of carbon, oxygen, aluminum, silicon, and iron, and a gray layer consisting of iron and oxygen. This is consistent with the chips being thermitic in nature. Other materials found in the red layers include calcium and sulfur, likely contaminants from the wallboard, as well as zinc, chromium, and potassium. These are also assumed to be contaminants. Burning the chips produces tiny iron-rich spheres, just like those produced by a thermitic reaction.
Could anything else produce those spheres? And can a thermitic reaction occur without anyone actually intentionally planting thermite? Is it possible for, I don't know, paint to react with the metal it's painted on in the presence of, you know, burning jet fuel? Just throwing it out there, it's not even addressed.
Since thermite is an incendiary, the chips can't be ordinary thermite. But they might be nanothermite, aka superthermite, which is an experimental explosive. This is supported by the presence of carbon and silicon, and by the fact that the chips contain ultra-fine grain particles.
Okay, and nothing else has those particles made of those elements? I'm still gonna throw it out there. Could it be paint?
The chips are not ordinary paint. The authors tested one of the chips side by side with a paint sample.
Paint from what? What kind of paint? What brand? Was it a type of paint that was actually used in the World Trade Center? Care to tell me? No, of course they won't say. I wonder why. Could it be that they're being dishonest?
If paint were made from such energetic materials, it wouldn't be approved for building use. It's simply not safe.
I'll remember you said it wouldn't be safe. Also, highly energetic doesn't mean unstable. Paper is highly energetic, and we put that on walls all the time.
Superthermite can be sprayed or painted onto surfaces, forming an explosive paint. That fits very well with the analysis of the red chips. This paint would only ignite if exposed to very high temperatures, and could therefore be handled safely.
Oh, it could be handled safely, okay. That didn't take long. Besides, if you want a controlled demolition, and you don't want anyone to know it's a controlled demolition, then what you want is a small explosion, so you're not gonna wanna smear explosives all over the surfaces of the beams you wanna cut. If you did that, most of the force of the explosion would be wasted. Did you see Armageddon? You know, drilling into the asteroid, planting the nuke inside it and blowing it up, you know? You out-stupid a Michael Bay movie! How do you do that? So how the hell was this published in a peer-reviewed journal? Simple, it wasn't. It was published in Bentham Open Access Journal of Chemical Physics, which is not a peer-reviewed journal. You see, Bentham Open Access is a pay-to-get-published vanity publication that spams scientists at random asking them to review papers for them. Since they spam scientists at random, the scientists reviewing articles won't actually necessarily be experts in the relevant fields, so they're not peers. If you don't believe me, just Google Bentham Open Access and you'll find plenty of forum posts where scientists complain about this joke of a journal. And many of those posts are from before this article was published. If you want even more evidence, look at what New Scientist wrote about them. Two scientists actually submitted a junk article made up of randomly generated scientific jargon to Bentham Open Access, and it passed peer review despite being nothing but gibberish. Come on, you don't publish in this journal if you're serious. At least not if you want to be taken seriously. Considering that they're contradicting that which is actually written in respected journals, I'm sorry, I don't buy any of it. This is just an attempt to make people think that there's legitimate science supporting the conspiracy theory when there actually isn't. But yeah, I know what you're gonna say. I only listen to what specific sources are saying. I'm making appeals to authorities, and of course you're not, right? Well, here's the thing. I think engineers know more about engineering than nuclear physicists do. I trust the expertise of experts. You clearly don't, but you trust the expertise of laymen. And I've already been over that. If you haven't taken any university-level math, here's an example for you. Just what might happen if you don't trust experts. Did I get this right? If you haven't taken multivariable calculus, you're not going to be able to tell me the answer to that. You don't have the knowledge to analyze whether I'm right or wrong. So you can't. All you can do is rely on the expertise of those who can. The same goes in the field of engineering. And if a nuclear physicist is contradicting what the engineers are saying, that's kind of like a high school dropout challenging me when I say that this is correct. What the hell does he know? He doesn't have the knowledge required to perform the analysis. If you want to challenge what the experts are saying, step number one is become an expert. Sure, you're free to challenge them, but I'm not going to believe you over them. It's that simple. Bye.